Hello, church. Great to see you this evening. Thanks for tuning in and joining us for our celebration of Good Friday. Good Friday is a day that is commemorated by Christians all around the world as they remember the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, this year, our service is a little bit different. Normally, we're gathered together in person to remember this, and normally it's a much more formal, somber service. This year, just not going to be that way, but it is going to be an opportunity for us to remember how good God is to each of us, and it's going to be an opportunity for each of us to reflect on the crucifixion. Our musicians and our vocalists have done a fantastic job preparing us this evening, and so I hope that you will really enjoy the treat that you're in for tonight. This is something completely different than what we've ever done here in the history of Houston Northwest Church. So I invite you at this time to sit back, enjoy yourself, reflect on the crucifixion, the gift that God has given us in grace, to sing along and to reflect on the goodness of our God.
By heavy stone, Messiah still. brings life, brings suffering. Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Oh, see it.
So here's the question. Why is Good Friday good? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 is probably the simplest way for us to understand. He became sin who knew no sin so that we might become his righteousness. Whenever my kids were little, they would always want the biggest piece of cake, or they would want whatever it was for themselves. You knew that they were starting to grow up whenever they were willing to self-sacrifice, to say, oh, well, actually, this would make you happy. So instead of wanting only my own self-interests, I'm going to take care of you. That's where we see the nature of God. I actually read a story about a priest in Italy who recently was dying from COVID and turned down a respirator and instead gave it to a young man so that he could survive. That notion of self-sacrifice can grow as we get older, becoming more noble, but really only when we understand the Jesus story. So what is the Jesus story? He became sin. What do we mean whenever we say that he became sin? Well, very clearly, the Bible says that every single one of us has rebelled, and somehow as we rebel and as we sin against what God has done for us, sin corrupts and permeates not just our heart and our soul, but even literally our bodies and this own physical world in which we find ourselves. And so I don't know about you, but whenever I find myself corrupted and even sometimes corrupting others, I'm ashamed. And yet Jesus had none of that. The Bible says that he's perfect. The Bible says that he was sinless. He was the spotless Lamb of God. And he did something different. There was a moment where Jesus was being accused. He didn't defend himself. There was a moment where he was in the garden praying, and he said, God, whatever you want, your will, not mine. And so Jesus went willingly to the cross, and on the cross there, all of the accusations, all of the shame, all of the sin that had been breaking down my body, that had been tearing me apart, that had condemned me, that had pointed me to a life of death and misery into eternity apart from God, all of that went into the body of Jesus. But not just Steve's sin, all of your sin, all of the sin for all of humanity across creation was placed into the body of Jesus. And the prophet Isaiah then says that he was crushed for our transgressions. Jesus, God in flesh, allowed his body to be crushed so that your sin was crushed, my sin was crushed in his broken body. Literally, the wrath of God crushed the body of Jesus so that the penalty for sin could be paid. Jesus became sin. But then secondly, we became his righteousness. Now, I don't understand exactly how this happened, but somehow, whenever we say that we believe, we place our trust in Jesus, metaphysically, somehow the goodness, the righteousness of God leaves Jesus and comes on us, and our sin goes into him. So while he becomes sin, we become righteousness. Now, righteousness is this idea that we measure up to the standard of God. God looks at us and he says, you don't lack anything. I don't know about you, but over the years, sometimes I found myself in job interviews. I found myself in meetings. I found myself in rooms where I think, I don't belong here. These people are smarter than me. These people have more money than me. These people are more important than me. Sometimes that's called imposter syndrome. Some of us might think that we have imposter syndrome when it comes to sitting in the kingdom of God. But I want to tell you something. You don't need to have imposter syndrome. Not at all. Because the Bible says that when you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, then guess what? Not only does the sin leave, but the righteousness of God comes and you are no longer an imposter. No, you are now a child of God. The book of Romans chapter 5 says that you now have access. Access. That's the word that they give to VIPs. That's the place where they drop the velvet rope so that you can come in. That's the door that's marked employees only. You get to come in. That's the family only party. You get an invitation. This is access. You get into the throne room. You are there with God the Father. You're not an imposter. And not only do you have access, but you're now a family member, a child, a son, a daughter. He became sin and you became righteous. Now, why did that have to happen? Over the years, sometimes I've heard people say that God cannot be in the presence of sin, but that's not the case. It's actually the opposite. Sin cannot be in the presence of God. Sin and the presence of God will burn up and be destroyed because God is holy, powerful, and loving, and sin doesn't stand a chance in his presence. So God had to give us righteousness because if we came into his presence with sin on us, we would be burned up and destroyed. We would be thrown into the lake of fire because our sin would actually probably make us spontaneously combust in the presence of a holy God. So therefore, God, in his great mercy, God, in his great love, wanted relationship with us. And so he did the only thing that could be done. He gave us the rescuer, the only rescuer who could make a way, himself. He became flesh because it had to be a human body that would be corrupted with sin. And in a miracle that only God could do, he took every single sin from every single human and put it in the one human body that would never, ever, ever need to have it, but took it anyway, the body of Jesus Christ. And then the righteousness of one man was spread across all of humanity for those who have faith. If you have yet to say yes to Jesus, you can place your faith in him today. And your sin, I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. It all goes away. And it's placed in Jesus. And the perfection, the righteousness, the standard, the family crest, the access, it's all placed on you. That is why it's Good Friday. And that is why we remember it. So today Jesus dies in the church calendar. But today we call it good anyway, because we know that even though he died, we got great grace. we got a great gift because of our great God. And that's why we take the supper on Good Friday. We're going to prepare tonight in our homes to take the supper together. Here in my house, I have some bread. Happened to have some flat bread. And I didn't have any wine or grape juice, so I have some apple juice here. And that'll work if you have that. You can get a cracker, bread, you know, whatever kind of juice or wine that you have there. But prepare those elements, because we're going to take this supper together. Now listen, the supper doesn't save us. It's not by eating this that we're saved. And this supper in and of itself is not something that is required or necessary, but it's something that Jesus gave us. And it's something that is intended to help us remember, not just from memory, but also to come together as a body. So right now, as we're all watching this, we're going to all come together and take the supper and be remembered. I don't know about you, but the thought that my brothers and sisters all across this city who I haven't seen in a month are going to all take this supper at the same time, that's special to me. And I hope it's special to you. So Sean and the team are going to sing. You sing along. But as the song is playing, if you don't have your elements prepared, you do that. And then we'll come together. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're a part of this church, we're going to take the supper and we are going to celebrate the great truth that he became sin and we became righteous on Good Friday.
Only the blood of Jesus was.
So we come to the table and we remember. We remember that we've been set free, that we've been rescued. We've been rescued by the broken body and the spilled blood of Jesus. So we remember that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it. He blessed it and he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take, eat, each of you. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The body of our Lord. The Bible says then, in the same way, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until I do so in the kingdom that is yet to come." This cup represents blood shed for the remission of sin. The blood of our Lord. And so we come. We take part from the bread and the cup. We remember the broken body. We remember the spilled blood. And we remember that we have been saved because of his brokenness, because of his being crushed. And as the scripture says, as often as you eat of this bread and often as you drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Amen and amen.
And all the lost and lonely, all the thieves will come confess, and know that you are holy, and know that you that he is God.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Hope that this has been a meaningful and special time. Hope that you have encountered God and remembered the fact that you have been saved through the crushed body of Jesus. Your sins have been forgiven, your penalty has been paid, and you have been made right with God. Place your faith in Him, turn to Him, receive forgiveness, so we can remember the beauty of our God. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. We know that the resurrection's right around the corner, so be back here as we celebrate Easter this Sunday at 8, 9:30, 11, and 5 p.m. We'll also be back on Tuesday at 7. So hope to see you here as we celebrate the resurrection and remember our good God. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the crushing of your Son. Thank you for all that you give. Lord, we love you and we praise you. And tonight we give you thanks that we did not have to be crushed because you chose to be. In the name of your Son, amen and amen. Good night, everyone.